I know we have some that haven't been in the class, so I just wanted to go over something real quick. Plus, I had someone ask some questions about this. The chart I made, if you're doing it electronically, you just have the blank one. But I do have some out in the front there, and I have more if you need them. Just get with me. But I filled out the first two slots on some just to give you an idea of what I was thinking, at least for me. Because all this is for, we're not really going to go over it in class. This is just for everyone to have available. If you're, while you're reading, you can write down notes. The sections in there are basically some of the things you might see in the different chapters. So now I will make mention, like today, and some of the things we look over, I might make mention because we have some of this information right behind each other. But we're not going to go over it and say, hey, what did you get and all of that. This is just, it's just a tool, hopefully to help us study, or because as we read, we can write it down. And then later on, if you go over it, it's boom right there in front of you. Because the way that I'm doing mine, I'm not doing northern versus southern. You do it however you want to do it. And this is for you to use. But me, I'm just going in the order kind of as we're seeing some of these kings flow. Because then as you mark some of these times, it might be a little more helpful because it's going to flow going back and forth and stuff. So that is that. So for today's lesson, if I get on the right page, we left off around 1 Kings 14:9, somewhere in that area. But before we go over there, I just wanted to look at some things, have a little refresher, if you will, and we'll look at some things that will build up to where we left off. So, you know, this is what we are calling the divided kingdom, because we see the kingdom divides. And what caused this? Whose action was the cause of this division?
Solomon.
Solomon. Okay. So King Solomon, this has to do with because of some of the things that he was doing. Let's look in 1 Kings 11:2 for just a second. In 1 Kings 11:2. So, God said that he was going to do something because of Solomon's actions. And we'll see some of the what caused these things. In verse 2 it says, "From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after other gods," or after their gods. And then it says that Solomon held fast in love with these women. So we see the influence that's going to take place here. And it says in verse 4 that in his older age, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And if you jump down to verse 11, it says, "So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant." And we saw in our last class who this servant is, and we'll see some more here in just a second. But it's this idea because of what Solomon did. And again, as we mentioned in the last class, this is the wisest man. And yet, he should have known better to allow these influences to enter in. He was warned. And yet, he didn't listen to wisdom, and this is where we end up. In chapter 11. Well, we just read that. Let's jump over to verse 31 of chapter 11. Well, before I read that, I want to introduce something that we saw in our last class, but just to remind us, in verse 29, it talks about Ahijah, the Shilonite. And this is where it introduces Ahijah. He's going to speak with Jeroboam. And in verse 31, it says, he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces for this. And this is talking about his new cloak that was torn into 12 pieces. He said, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes. So we see here that Jeroboam learns that he is going to be given this kingdom. And let's keep in mind Ahijah, because once we get to where we kind of left off, we see Ahijah again. So we know that Jeroboam is familiar with this prophet. So what God expects from Jeroboam? In verse 38, he says, then it will be that if you listen to all that I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, by observing my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you, and I will build you an enduring house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. So, we see what Jeroboam is told, but we're also going to see what he ends up doing with these things. So then we jumped along. We see that in 12:3, we see that this is after Solomon dies. In 12:3, we see that Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, so here when Solomon dies, you have Jeroboam that had already hidden himself. He had fled to Egypt. And then you have Solomon died, so Rehoboam was there. And that's when Jeroboam and all the people go to Rehoboam to speak to him. And they tell him about how his father's yoke, Solomon, was heavy. And then, so I'm just kind of paraphrasing. And Rehoboam says, okay, well, give me 3 days, because he wants to get counsel. So first he takes counsel from elders that served his father Solomon. And, you know, they basically said, well, you know, if you will do these things and serve the people, then they will serve you. And then he goes and gets counsel from his friends, these young men he grew up with. And that counsel was not good counsel, but that's the one he chose. So we see that he chooses the counsel of his young friends. And what takes place because of this choice? Okay. Okay, but we see all of this really is part of God's plan too. Everything kind of plays in its place. Let's look at verse 15. 1 Kings 12:15. So, Rehoboam. Got to make sure I get they're close in name. I don't want to get them mixed here. So Rehoboam says what his choice was after the 3 days. You know, he speaks to them. And they didn't like what he had to say. And so in verse 15 of 1 Kings 12, it said, "So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord, that he might establish his word, which the Lord spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat." So basically at this point, now the people are going to follow Jeroboam. But Rehoboam will still have those that are of Judah, that he will reign over those. So in verse 20, it says, "It came about when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over Israel." So he becomes king over the northern kingdom, but none but the tribe of Judah followed the house of David. So that is where Rehoboam is followed. That's king of Judah, or the southern kingdom. So that's where we see this idea of the two different kingdoms. And so we're looking at about 931 B.C. at this point. So you have Jeroboam, who is chosen by God, and he's the king over the northern kingdom, or Israel. And then you have Rehoboam, who is son of Solomon, and he's king over southern kingdom, which is Judah. And then we spoke a little bit about, we saw these altars that Jeroboam created in Bethel and in Dan. So, and remember that Bethel is the lower section of the northern kingdom, and Dan's the upper section. So he placed these for convenience, but it wasn't God's plan. And we also saw where the man of God from Judah said to Jeroboam and Bethel what was going to take place. We see all these things taking place. And then we talked about the man of God from Judah and then the old prophet from Bethel and some of the things that took place with them. And then we kind of made our way over to where we're at in 1 Kings 14. Now, if you recall in 1 Kings 14, because in verse 1 of 14, it says, "At the time, Abijah the son of Jeroboam became sick." So what we're looking at now is because Jeroboam's son, Abijah, becomes sick. Now you see how this situation is handled or addressed, however you want to call that. And so Jeroboam tells his wife to arise and disguise herself, so that no one will know that she's the wife of Jeroboam. And she sends her to go see Ahijah. Okay, make sure I said it right. Remember, Ahijah's the prophet, Abijah's the son, so if I mix them, tell me. I don't want to cause any confusion. So basically, she's trying to disguise herself, and she's not successful, at least for with Ahijah, because God even tells him, said, "Here's the wife of Jeroboam. She's disguised herself as another woman." And in verse 6, it says, "It came about when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet coming in the doorway that he said, 'Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another woman?'" So she's aware that he knows who she is. And then he says, "I'm sent to you with a harsh message." So she's going there because of her son's situation. But Ahijah says, well, I've got a harsh message for you concerning this. In verse 7, it says, go say to Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, to do only that which was right in my sight. So we see what's going to be the result of this. It even states in verse 9 that he has done more evil than all who were before him, and have gone and made for himself other gods and molten images to provoke, it says me, or to provoke God's anger. And he have cast me behind, and you have cast me behind your back. So what is God going to do to the house of Jeroboam because of this? Okay. And so he says he's going to bring calamity on it. Says, therefore, behold, I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male person, both bond and free in Israel. And I will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam, so as one sweeps away dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And he who dies in the field, the birds of the heavens will eat. For the Lord has spoken it. Now you arise, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child will die. So she knows what's about to take place. And we see here that, and this is, you know, like I said, a clean sweep. That's going to end this dynasty. That he had opportunity for to be a dynasty, but this God is putting an end to this because of his actions. So we see here some consequences. And so something we need to think of for ourselves. There's consequences to our actions. You know, we see warnings in God's word that we can look back and we see examples from things that took place. So we need to be careful to... God doesn't speak to us directly like they had Ahijah and things like this, but we have God's word and we can know from it how we should live and know that there's consequences to our actions if we don't follow his will. So we need to keep that in mind. But so we see that Ahijah tells her that when her feet enter the city, the child will die. And all Israel shall mourn him and bury him, for he alone of Jeroboam's family shall come to the grave. Because in him something good was found towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. And moreover, the Lord will raise up for him a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam this day and from now on. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River, because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give up Israel on account of the sins of Jeroboam, which he committed and which he made Israel to sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tisra. As she was entering the threshold of the house, the child died. So what was spoken of took place. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah, the prophet. So Jeroboam dies in 910 B.C. Now, concerning your chart, we see here in verse 20, it says, and at the time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. Or the time that he reigned is 22 years. So you can jot those kind of things down. And he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his place. Now in this next section that we're reading, it starts talking about Rehoboam again. So remember we saw the interaction right after Solomon's death, what's going on with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and then it gives more information about Jeroboam. Now we're at a point that we're going to get a little more, or it's going to speak some more about Rehoboam. So we're at this point, we're in 931 B.C. So in verse 21, it kind of steps us back about 21 years or so. And from the things we saw in the end of chapters 11 and chapter 12. So we saw Jeroboam mostly up to 420. So now in 21, it says, now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. So again, we get some information that you can put on your chart. It tells us that he was 41 years old when he became king and that he reigned 17 years. So you could say roughly he was around 58 years old when he died. So just doing a little math and you can fill in that section too. Because you can kind of do this as you're going through and you're reading some of this information. Some of it you can kind of just put together. And so if that's helpful to you. So he was approximately 58 years old when he died. We see in verse 22 it says, Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all their fathers had done with the sins which they committed. For they also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars, and Asherim on every high hill and beneath every luxuriant tree. And there was also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. So we see this influences and these things that they were doing that's not according to God's will. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. So we're looking at around 927 B.C., 926, however you count get the 5 years out of that. But so what did Shishak take? Okay. Took all the treasures from Israel. It says he took the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took everything, even taking the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. In verse 29, it says that now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of King of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. Now, of course, that's just kind of ending what it's talking about. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, became king in his place. So Rehoboam, we see, died in around 913 B.C., around 913. So these, up to what we've looked at, covers these first two kings during this divided kingdom. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was given the northern kingdom by God. Remember, he was exalted from the people. And Rehoboam, from the dynasty of David, the son of Solomon, he reigned in Judah. So when we say of the dynasty of David, so this southern kingdom, basically all of that is the dynasty of David, except for when you get to Queen Athaliah. So we see a lot of father, son. You have some uncle and stuff when you get to the bottom, but it's of the dynasty of David. And I noted on the lesson, First Chronicles. Now, most of when we're looking at this lesson, basically we were looking at 1 Kings 12, chapter 12. Well, we started at little 11 just to see what was going on with Solomon. But then you've got chapter 12 all the way up to the end of 1 Kings, and then all of 2 Kings, and then you get into 2 Chronicles. So most of what we've looked at or will look at will be in 2 Chronicles. But I noted this information from 1 Chronicles because it just help us hopefully understand some of these things, maybe get a better understanding of these kings in that line, and we'll see how some of the names are maybe a little different too. Let me get over there. 1 Chronicles 3. Verses 10 through 15. Let's read 1 Chronicles 3, 10 through 15. It said, now Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Abijah was his son. Asa his son. Jehoshaphat his son. Joram his son. Ahaziah his son. Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son, and the sons of Josiah were Johanan, the firstborn, the second was Jehoiakim, and the third Zedekiah. So we can see how this, when you're looking at, once we go through all the different chapters and everything, and we see all these different kings from that dynasty in the southern kingdom, we see this list of the kings, and it's pretty much what you're seeing here. You know, you'll see some difference at the bottom. Well, it's not a difference, but this here is stating the sons, but then you've got an uncle that's introduced in the mix too. So, and we'll see some of that as we get into those chapters. But I just wanted to bring that to our attention so we can use that. We can look back at that as we're reading some of these other chapters, and we'll see how that kind of makes sense and flows together. And like I said, some of the names might be a little different. I noticed that when I was going through some of these things. So I put on the lesson just something to help us with some of these names. There was four I saw that it's used. Some are used different in Kings versus Chronicles, but then some are used different. First Chronicles, what we're seeing here, and what it says in Second Chronicles. It's the same people. It's just we see how they're referred in a different name. So we don't want that to throw us off, because in Chronicles, who we've been talking about, Abijam, you're going to see Abijah. So we're going to see these different names being used. So if you're jumping back from Kings and Chronicles, then if something looks, well, it said it here, it said that, well, just jump back to this page. It might be helpful to you. So we'll see that. I just put the different names, Abijah, Abijam, Jehoram, Joram. And I'm not positive. I don't know if Joram is maybe a short version of Jehoram. You know, like David and Dave or whatever. I don't know. But I've noticed in other places when it was speaking of a different Joram or Jehoram, it says Joram there as well. So keep that in mind. We have Azariah, Uzziah, Johanan or Joahaz or Jehoahaz. So that one is mentioned three different ways. So just a little information, hopefully helpful, because we don't look at something and say, oh, wait a minute, that's the wrong name, or not necessarily. So let's, at least we have this to jump back and forth to kind of figure those things out. I've been talking. Is there anything anyone wanted to bring up? Any questions? Any thing that needs to be added to this? Or yes, sir.
So it's they totally moved away from the Lord, worshiping other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep continually kindled God's anger towards them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we see what's interesting is, you know, they, especially you think of Jeroboam and others like this who have seen the hand of God. I mean, he was a servant, and then of Solomon, and then he's given a kingdom, but he doesn't, you know, observe the commandments of God. And you know, I know I mentioned it this way probably in the last class, but God doesn't ask a whole lot of us. You know, he provided all this for him. He asked him to do some things, you know, follow his commandments, but then he doesn't. And of course, we see that there's, because of that, we see the results of that. So yeah, definitely. And I have not a hard time understanding, but when we consider that, and we consider all of these things we see, not just in what we're studying, but throughout the Bible, we see things like that where people knew better. But again, it's choice. People have choice, and but there's consequences to those choices, like we've just seen in some of these things. So, and anybody else have anything? Any comments, thoughts? Okay. If not, then we will turn over and we can start going into lesson two. If you are some of the people that just started in the class, you've probably figured out by now, because we've had a couple of classes and we're just now getting to lesson two. Lesson I did these lessons not necessarily as class periods. I just broke them down into what kind of I wanted to cover in each lesson. So some lessons, like this one, has covered three classes for the most part. And we'll have some that might just cover one class. We might get to a point where we can cover more than one in a class. It could happen. We'll see. But just keep that in mind. Lesson doesn't mean class this day. You know, we're in lesson two. It's going to be class two. So just keep that in mind as you're going over some of this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Think of Jeroboam's wife. What's her choice? You head to the city, your son dies. So do you go home? Once you step into the city, your boy dies. What a bind he put her in because of his spiritual choices. And there's the boy. He dies because of Jeroboam's choices. He's the king. He can choose to put the idols in Bethel and Dan. He can choose to reject Jehovah. There's consequences to those he rules, but even to those that are very close to him, his wife and his son. The same thing is true with us as men and the decisions we make and how to impact those that are under us.
Very good point. I guess everybody heard Steve, but yes, that's a good practical application that we as men need to consider and think about. And as Steve spoke of in his lesson on Sunday, you know, this idea that where a lot of this was probably coming from, at least with Jeroboam, was his pride. And we see all of this stuff about him. And this, what we read is a result of his choices. But like Steve brought up, there's other people impacted by those choices. And as men, concerning our wives, we need to keep that in mind in the decisions that we make and the things that we do, because it can affect them as well. So, good point, Steve. Good thoughts. Anybody else have anything? Because, like he said, we're almost out of time. If there's any other point anyone wants to make, or... Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. And I, when I'm reading some of this stuff, you know, that's what I see a lot of, this idea, like you said, the influences of his wife, or wives. He had a couple. but that's what gets in and corrupts things. It's not the whole wives thing, but it, because of the influence. But from what God was trying to keep out because of their influence was bringing in the other gods. And, you know, Solomon, the wisest man, didn't listen to that. And so you can be smart and be a fool. So it just... we just need to keep that in mind in the things that we do, because there's consequences to the actions. He was warned, and then here we are in this divided kingdom. Anybody else? Well, we've just got a couple more minutes, so if... Now's your chance, because I'm going to shut it down. Instead of going into lesson two, we'll just start lesson two fresh on Sunday, Lord willing. And oh, yeah. We have a gospel meeting. I'm sure someone's going to announce that in a minute. You are correct. Thank you. Thank you for all y'all's thoughts and attention.